Amen. There are some Baptists that think that's against the Word of God. They just haven't read it. Amen. And, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. We need to follow the Spirit. Amen. If the pastor calls for a morning service and food, well, we can't eat. Yeah, that's not scriptural either. Amen. Right. They didn't have fellowship together by breaking of bread, did they? Yes, they did. Amen. They sure did. And we broke more than bread today, amen. We had chicken, and we had pasta, and we had salad and coleslaw and rolls, and some kind of red-looking stuff. I don't know what it was, amen. I had a couple slabs of it, amen. And tremendous dessert. Thank you all, by the way, so much. I mean, you know, we realize how much effort goes into it. There's a lot of people did a lot of work to try to prepare that meal, and it was absolutely fantastic. And those people who work to set things up, set the tables, prepare all that food, put it all out there, serve it, wait on us, make coffee, amen. And praise the Lord for that. Sorry, Brother Roloff. But thank the Lord, then clean everything up. And I appreciate so much all that was done. And from our hearts, it was a real blessing to all of you that labored, amen. Hey, that was a ministry, amen. And if you don't agree with that, I feel sorry for you, amen. Go starve to death. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for that wonderful music. I love. We have the Holtzclaw CDs in our vehicle. By the way, if you don't, you ought to get one. And I'm going to put in a plug for the Holtzclaws. Their music is edifying. It is Christ-honoring. And if you don't have a CD, you need to stop by and you need to get some of their CDs. We listen to them. We love them. And good music is very important. By the way, if you don't listen to the right kind of music, you're likely to wind up listening to the wrong kind of music. Amen. Christians, I cannot encourage you enough. The two most moving forces on planet Earth, one of them, I'm not talking about the Lord, but I'm saying the two most moving forces on planet Earth in regards to human being, one of them is music, and you know what the other one is. And so the right kind of music will move you in the Spirit. Amen. I better get to preaching. All right. Ruth chapter 1. Turn there if you would. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. If you make your way to Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a moment. Ruth chapter 1. Bible says this in Ruth 1, and in verse 1 now, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them two wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Now watch. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they, watch that, plural, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Watch both of them, same response, we're going back with you. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they, plural, lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I'm going to preach to you tonight from a topic and on a topic that I'm sure many a preacher has taken to the pulpit. The title of the message tonight is this: to kiss or to cleave. To kiss or to cleave. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I ask again that you would give me the anointing that I need, that your will would be accomplished in the lives, the hearts of these people. Father, what I have tonight to give in and of myself is insufficient to do the work that needs to be done. Lord, I stand here tonight simply just a man. Lord, I want to be a mouthpiece for you tonight. I want to do your bidding tonight. And Father, I pray that you would now give me that anointing which is absolutely necessary. Touch me tonight, Father, with thy spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've got 3 points tonight. I'm going to give them to you exactly the same way that God gave them to me in my devotions the day I penned this message down on paper. I believe that this message is such a great parallel to what we're seeing today in Christianity, and there is a need for that, although there is a message tonight for those that sit here who are lost and undone, who have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are people like that in our service. Unfortunately, we had some this morning, and they didn't come to know Christ, and we probably have some here tonight, and I'm just praying that if you're here and you're lost without Christ and without hope, you'll come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. There is nothing that could be grander, nothing that could be better tonight than for one to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of people tonight that are filling up a lot of churches across this land who have made a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've done that because they've gone through emotion, they've prayed a prayer, they've said some words, some quote-unquote magic words to a sinner's prayer. But dear friend, unless you repent in your heart and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. Salvation comes by way of repentance. God said so. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so from thus and such a newspaper has to say. The Bible said that without repentance, there is no salvation. The word of the Lord says this, that Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's Bible. That's Bible. We better understand that. Now, it can be taken to a point where some might identify repentance as a work, but under the right context scripturally, it is not a work. It is a turning of the heart. Listen to me. I'll go over this every night. God put so in my heart. You remember the story about Noah. How many remember Noah? He built an ark commissioned by God. Huh? You remember what happened when them flood waters came down? The Bible said God shut that door on Noah, and he and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives are inside of that ark. You've heard this told before. I've said it when I preached on Noah. Other preachers have said it. I believe with all of my heart when them flood waters began to rise, and they did rapidly. The water came down, the wellsprings of the earth broke open, and God had shut that door. I believe that all the people that had rejected the message of Noah, 120 years, Noah served God, and he was righteous before his 120 years stand. Amen. Did you get that? But I believe all those people that had rejected the message that Noah had sent out over all the courses of time, I believe many of those people in the surrounding areas and the neighboring areas, by the way, the whole world knew what Noah was doing. They all knew about the ark. Plenty of time had gone by, and I want to tell you what, they didn't have the internet back in those days, amen, but I guarantee you the word got out. And everybody knew about that boat. And I want to tell you what, when those flood waters began to rise, I know this, or scripture doesn't record it, but I know this. I know that there was people who went up and they vehemently beat on the side of that ark. Let us in! Let us in! The message that they had rejected and the man that they had rejected for all those many years, now all of a sudden things were different. But I want you to listen to this, and this is what makes all the difference in those that are going to be condemned and cast into hell and those that are truly going to make it into heaven. Those men and those women who were beating on the side of that boat, they only wanted their lives to be spared. They really didn't they hadn't come to the point where they were receiving the message. Get this now. Because we got a lot of people sitting in our churches. There are even members of our Baptist churches tonight. They really hadn't in their hearts received the message of hope. They hadn't received the message of God. They just didn't want to die. And friend, not wanting to die and go to hell has never saved a single soul on planet Earth. The Bible doesn't say, whosoever shall be afraid of dying and going to hell shall be saved. There ain't a person on the face of this earth with half a lick of brain in their head that wants to die and go to hell. And the thought of hell and the thought of dying and going to hell would scare anybody half to death. Amen. But listen, you don't get saved because you're scared of dying and going to hell. Those people that beat on the side of the earth, they weren't going to get saved because they were afraid to die. What constitutes salvation is the reception of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Repentance towards God, the Bible said in the book of Acts, and faith in the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you realize that you are a sinner condemned for hell, and that Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, who gave Himself on the cross, shed His blood and gave His body, was buried and rose again victorious over the grave, until you repent and put your faith and trust in the finished works of Calvary, you, my friend, are lost and on your way to hell. Amen. Salvation is not coming to church. Salvation is not praying a prayer. Salvation is not being afraid of dying and going to hell. Salvation is not an exercise in religion. It's repentance in the heart, amen, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Repent and be converted. Friend, there has never been a second way to be converted. Amen. Ever. Amen. I hope you're listening tonight. If you're here tonight and you are truly not saved, dear friend, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Now. Amen. Not tomorrow, not a couple hours from now. Now. You may not live. You may not live to see 10 o'clock tonight. You know, I often thought about this. I wonder how many people, if they knew they had 2 hours to live on planet Earth, I wonder how many people would be praying and asking the Lord to forgive and save their soul. I wouldn't. I'm being candid with you tonight. I wouldn't. I've done that. Amen. I know whom I believe. Hey, listen, I know for sure that the Lord has forgiven me. I know that I'm a blood-bought child of God. If I knew I was going to die, I'd say, Lord, I want to make sure that my heart's right with you, but I'm sure I'm glad that I'm already saved. Amen. I wouldn't be uttering the sinner's prayer again because just in case. No, there is no just in case. Amen. I know that I've been redeemed. Amen. I know that I'm a child of God. Friend, if you don't know that tonight, you better get it settled. Now let's get into the message tonight. Here we are in Ruth chapter 1. The Bible said that the story begins and by telling us that there is a famine in the land. And the story tonight really is about two women. We know the one by the name of Ruth, and we know the other one by the name of Orpah. And the Bible tells us that they were daughter-in-laws of one Naomi. And we came to our passage here in the conclusion of verse 14, where the Bible said they lifted up their voice and wept again. And the Bible says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but watch this, Ruth clave unto her. And I want you to see tonight that there is a distinct difference between kissing and cleaving. And we know, many of us at least, know the end of the story and how things wound up. But I want you to see tonight what made the difference in the life of Ruth. There are some things that God pointed out to me in my personal devotions I want to share with you tonight. Number one, I want you to look at this with me. Verse 18. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Brothers and sisters, my first point tonight in the message is this. When we look at Ruth, Ruth was an individual who was fortified in her mind. You know what we need today? We need Christianity that is likened unto Ruth. Absolutely fortified in her mind. I mean, the truth of the matter is that there was not indecisiveness in the life of Ruth. She knew the direction that God wanted her to go in, and she was determined to go in it. We have way too much flip-flopping, way too much wishy-washy, way too much indecisiveness in the midst of God's people today. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to do what's right. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not. I'm going to give up this sin, and now I change my mind. Unfortunately, Pastor, there's people that made decisions in the house of the Lord and here under this tent tonight, and probably some to come at the conclusion of this message, they will rescind or go back on their commitments to God before they go to bed tonight. Dear friend, it ought not be that way. I'm telling you tonight that God has given us the wherewithal to be absolutely fortified in our mind. Amen. We need people today who will be like Ruth. We need people today who will be absolutely concrete in their decisions to serve God instead of making a commitment and then going back on it hours or even days later. Pastor, how much more would be done for the cause of Christ if the commitments that Christians made were kept? Amen. We spend much of our time in Christianity. Think about this. You know I'm telling you the truth. Like, much of our time in Christianity is getting right with the things that we got right before but went back on. Listen, it's not supposed to be two steps forward and one step back. In today's, it's one step forward and two steps back. One step forward and two steps back. One step forward and two steps back. Hey, you know, you're going the wrong way. Amen. It's supposed to be like this, two steps forward. Amen. Then one step forward. Then two steps forward. Amen. Then one step. Then two. Hey, now we're getting somewhere for Jesus. Amen. We've got too many Christians today who are not solid and concrete in their decisions for God. If God speaks to you about something, if God sends you in a direction, if God works on your heart, or if the Word of God says, just do it. Amen. I had somebody years ago came up to me and said, Brother Curlin, you know what your problem is? Now, first of all, I told that person, please tell me, because I thought I had a whole lot more than a problem, amen. But if you could tell me I only got one, man, bless you, my brother. He said, you know what your problem is? I said, I got a lot more than one, but go ahead and enlighten me. He said this to me, he said, your problem is you're too narrow-minded. And he said, don't you understand that the modern day philosophy today in Christianity that has helped us in Christianity is to broaden our spectrum by not being so narrow-minded. You need to sort of free your mind a little bit. You need to be a little bit more open-minded. Consider the possibilities. I said, there's only one problem with that. That contradicts the Word of God. My Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. That means cinch it up, close it up. And I am narrow-minded tonight. I'm about that narrow-minded right there, about as wide as my old King James Bible. And if the Bible doesn't say it, brother, I ain't likely to believe it. And if the Bible says it, amen, it's so. We don't need a new broadened mind in this day and age. We don't need to heighten our thoughts by broadening our horizons beyond what the Word of God says, amen. We need to be fortified in our mind, amen. Paul wrote this in his exhortation to the church at Corinth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, amen. Always abounding. We can't go forward unless we stand still. We can't go forward unless we're steadfast, amen. We need Christians today who will be fortified in their mind. I'm concerned today why people change their minds so often. If it's right, it's right. Amen. Brother Fidan is down here and he's in his mid-60s or somewhere about. And you know what? Can I tell you something? He believes the same solid, sound doctrine that he believed 30 years ago. Amen? You know why? Because he has put his faith in the Word of God. Amen? Hey, listen, if God said it, that's it. Amen? You heard the old song, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. Amen? You ought to believe it, but whether you believe it or not doesn't make it settled. Amen? God said it, that settles it. And dear friend, I want you to see this. Ruth knew the direction that God wanted her to go in. You've heard me say this before. This has resonated in my life many times. I remember Brother Roloff, thank the Lord I had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit before God took him home. But Brother Roloff used to say this. People would come up to him and say, Brother Roloff, why are you always butting heads with so many people? And he said, because most folks are going the wrong way. Dear friend, listen to me. We ought not be haughty about the way of righteousness. We ought not be mean about it, but we ought to be steadfast, amen. And we ought to be fortified in the mind. Hey, listen, literally what Ruth did is she built a wall around her mind. Did you get that? And she had inside that wall the truth and the direction of the Word of God. We don't need to be open-minded today. We need to be closed-minded. We need our mind to be open only to the Word and the ways of Almighty God. Amen? Number one, she was fortified in her mind, but then I want you to see this now. By the way, before I go forward, I have to read this to you. Look at this. Back up at verse 16. Great preaching here, but the Bible in these verses, the Bible says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. Hey, let me tell you something. That's commitment, amen? That's the kind of commitment that we need to have to our Lord and Savior today. Number one, she was fortified in her mind. But number two, I want you to see this. Look at verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, in the beginning of that verse says, so they two went. I get excited when I see that. I think of Elijah and Elisha tonight, and I'm mindful of them. Where the Bible said, and I preached a message one time entitled, The Two Went On. I'm mindful that Elisha continued on and pressed on with Elijah, amen. And we see here in this verse that Ruth did the same thing with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Here's what I like about this. Number one, she was fortified in her mind, but number two, she followed in the footsteps. Watch this with me now. In verse 18, brothers and sisters, we find Ruth talking. Well, in verse 16, verse 17, and in verse 18. We find Ruth talking about what she's going to do. She's telling Naomi, this is what I'm going to do. She's talking about it. And the Bible said she was steadfastly minded. And I try to picture this in my mind and think about what happened. You know, Naomi's trying to convince her, hey, listen, go back to the land of Moab and go back to your homeland and all this. And the Bible says that she was when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let me picture this for you. Here's Naomi. She's sort of trying to press Ruth and say, listen, you need to go back. You know, my husband's dead. Your husband's dead. You know, your brother-in-law's dead. You know, all these people are dying. You need to go back to your homeland. And the Bible said that she must have literally exhausted herself, I'm guessing, and endeavoring to try to convince her to do something other than what was in her mind. I believe that Naomi finally just went, I can see that I'm not going to change your mind. I've had that happen to me. I remember some time ago somebody came to me, and they came to me presumably for biblical counsel. They didn't want biblical counsel. They were trying to sway my stand is all they were trying to do. And any preachers who spend much time counseling have experienced that. I need some counsel and some help from you. Sure you do. And they asked me a question and I said, well, here, flip through. Here's what the Bible says. Well, what about this? Oh, here's what the Bible says. Well, what about this? Here's what the Bible says. Well, what about this? Here's what the Bible says. And after about four or five, here's what the Bible says. It said, oh, I can see that I'm not doing any good. I might as well not even waste my breath. Yeah. Amen. I believe that somewhere in line with where Naomi was, the Bible said she could see that all of her efforts were not changing the mind of Ruth. And the Bible said she just left speaking. She just turned around. There's no sense in me continuing to talk to you. Christians, by the way, before we move forward, that's the way we need to be. Amen. And we need people to look at us and say, don't bother going talking to him. He's not going to turn back on the King James Bible. Don't bother talking to them. They're not going to reverse on their stand in the doctrines of the Word of God. They're not going to back up on the issue of separation. They're not going to back up on the issue of sanctification. They're not going to change what they know the Bible says. We need Christians to have that kind of fortification. But in verses 16, 17, and 18, Ruth is talking about it, but I like this. In verse 19, she ain't talking. Amen. She's doing. Amen. We need show me Christianity. Where is the proof? Where is the evidence? Where is your lifestyle today? To back it up, we can talk all the talk, sing all the song, but friend, if our footsteps are not moving in the right direction, if we're not doing it, then it's not. Amen. And we need Christians to stop talking about it and start doing it. How long? How long, Brother Holtzclaw, do we have to tell people Jesus is coming and He's coming back soon? We stand on the threshold of the sound of the trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise and the work that is done for Christ, amen, will be completed. We need to get busy for God, amen. There's no time to waste. It's time to stop talking about it. It's time to start doing it. And I like the testimony of Ruth. Here's what I'm going to do. But then she did it. Amen. Then she did it. I refer to it this way. If I ran into Brother Fedetta and told him, hey, Brother Fedetta, many years ago, I wanted to share this with you. I got some exciting news. Almighty God has called me to preach. He'd say, well, Brother Curlin, that's great. That's exciting news. I'm surely glad to hear that. Let me pray for you. Maybe he'd give me some advice and maybe he'd give me some direction. A year later, I encounter his presence again. Say, hey, Brother Fedetta, I got something to tell you. God's called me to preach. Yeah, you told me about that. I'm going to be a preacher someday. Well, that's good. I'm praying for you, Brother Curlin. 2 or 3 years passes by. I again cross his presence and I say, hey, Brother Fedetta, I got something to tell you. He says, let me guess. God called you to preach. That's right. Yes. I'm going to be a preacher. Yeah. When are you going to do that? Well, one of these days I'm going to get after it. A few years more passes by. Hey, Brother Fadana, hey, it's good to see you. Guess what? And he says, you're going to be a preacher someday. Right. God called me to preach. A couple years later, he sees me again. Brother Fadana, I got something to tell you. He'd probably say, turn around once, boy. Boom. Amen. Get moving. Amen. Give that foot on the backside. Get going and do what God told you to do. Amen. Listen, it's great to hear from God. And by the way, God doesn't just give me direction because I'm a preacher. He gives me direction because I'm His child. Are you listening? If you are a child of God tonight, male, female, a saved, born again believer, God's got direction for you. He's got a plan for you tonight. He's got a purpose for you tonight. He knows your name. He knows who you are. And He knows what He wants you to do. We need to quit talking about it. And we need to start doing it. Amen. Number one, she was fortified in her mind. But number two, she followed in the footsteps. Does not the word of our Lord tell us in James that we are not just to be hearers of the word? Are we not exhorted to be doers also? Amen. Hey, watch this. Look at this. We're here in Ruth. Look at chapter 2 for just a second in verse 11. I want to tie this into the second point before I go on to my last point. But Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11, look at what the Bible says this. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been told me. Is that what it says? It hath fully been showed me. Didn't say it before the minute. Look, Boaz didn't say, hey, you know, Ruth, I've heard about what you said you was going to do. Hello? A lot of us sitting in here tonight, we've talked a good game. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a separated Christian. I'm going to spend more time praying. Hello? I'm going to give up this or give up that or begin to do what I need to do in this area or that area. Listen, we have all the right intentions, don't we? But I want to tell you something. Ruth didn't only have the right intentions, amen. She got the job done. And you know what? Listen to me. I like this because this is a great point. Boaz didn't say, you know, I heard about all the things you said he was going to do. Boaz looked at her and he said, Ruth, I have seen with my own eyes. Are you listening? The proof was in the pudding. Amen. Hey, listen. We need to follow in the footsteps. But then there's a third thing that I want to give you tonight in conclusion of this message. I want you to look at this, Ruth chapter 2. I began in verse 11 a minute ago, and I want to read this to you. The Bible says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And watch, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. And art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Did you see that? Number one, when we look at Ruth tonight, we see that she was fortified in her mind. Number two, she followed in the footsteps. But number three, I want you to see that she was willing to forsake all family and friends. I do a lot of preaching on the family, a lot of family conferences, preaching on marriage, preaching on child rearing. By the way, if you missed Sunday school today, you missed an excellent and absolutely scripturally correct message that is much needed today. But I want to say this to you tonight. Almost without exception, every Christian that I've run into that has backslidden or gone the wrong direction has been negatively influenced. This is not rocket science. Has been negatively influenced by a family member or a friend. There's nothing profound in that statement, but if it settles in, I think it can do some good. I said almost without exception, every Christian that I know that has backslidden or fallen into sin has been negatively influenced by, you think about it, who you can allow into your circle. Who's closest to you, a family member or a friend? And the Bible tells me that Ruth said, hey, I'm walking away from it all. And by the way, that was acknowledged by Boaz. Thou hast left thy father and thy mother. You mean you got to leave daddy? Uh-huh. And thy mother. You mean mama too? Yes. And the land of thy nativity, your home? Yes. Your family? Yes. Children? Yes. Brothers and sisters? Yes. Sons and daughters? Yes. I want you to turn to the New Testament for just a second because I'm sure I raised some eyebrows with some verses that are with some mentions that were just made. I want you to look at this with me, Matthew chapter 19. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29, the word of the Lord says this, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters, did you see that? Houses, that's your home. Brethren or sisters, brothers and sisters. Huh. Brother Curran, you don't know how close my sister is to me. You don't know how endeared I am to my brother. Or father, daddy, or mother, mama, or wife. Look up here for just a minute. Jesus said when you get married, the twain shall be one flesh. Did you see now? The same Jesus said the twain shall be one flesh is now talking about forsaking your wife. I'm going to get to this. Watch this now. Or wife, or children, your own kids, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. The Bible says this in Luke 14, 33. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I know this all means all. Hey, that's good. That's good. Listen to me. When we look at this tonight, we have to acknowledge that Ruth walked away from everything. You know what's going on today? We got too many Christians that are holding on to family and friends. And they're being restrained and they're being held back and they're being tied back from doing something great for God. You want to serve the Lord, but you got a brother that's a bad influence on you. You want to do what's right, but you got a sister who's not living for God or maybe not even saved. You want to go on, but you know your children aren't doing what they ought to. And boy, here's the one I see happening all the time. I see people who aren't serving God because of their grandkids. And their kids. I had a preacher's wife tell me this about maybe 2 years ago or so. Brother Fidena, I was talking to them, counseling them on situations going on in their life. And they had a child that's very wayward, away from God. And they wouldn't do anything to break fellowship with that child. I mean, that child had literally, really, and it was a very much an adult child, married and so forth, left their spouse and was spitting in the face of God. And that preacher's wife, she just wouldn't do anything to take a stand against what that child was doing or anything like that. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, you have to decide, do you love God or do you love that child more than you love God? And you know what she told me? She said, I love God. She said, but I want to tell you what. She said, I know that if I take the right kind, the stand is what she said. If I take the stand that the Bible, that's in the Word of God, she said, I know that I'll probably not see my grandkids very much anymore. And she said, I love God, but just not that much. And I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't in a Lutheran church. I just put my head down. I thought, I don't know if there's much more that I can say to help you. We look at Ruth, and I want to tell you what, she was willing to forsake everything. She was not going to allow influence from family to cause her to go in a direction that God... You know, you might look at this and say, well, she was just following her mother-in-law. No, she was following God. She was going where she wouldn't. If she would have just been following her mother-in-law, she would have did what Naomi said. Hey, go back to the land of Moab. That's where you came from. But she didn't. She said, no, I'm going with you. You know why she was going? Because she knew that's the direction that God wanted her to go in. By the way, Christians, can I tell you something? God will tell you the direction that He wants you to go in your life. Amen. And by the way, can I tell you this? The direction that God wants you to go in and the things that God wants you to do never conflict the Word of God. We see that a lot today. I see that in counseling. Well, here's what the Bible says. Well, I know, but I believe God wants me to do this. Well, what you're saying He wants you to do is inconsistent with the Word of God. I know, but I just feel. Well, there you got in trouble because you let your feelings determine your direction. Big mistake. God gave us feelings, but we don't base our doctrine. We don't base our direction on our feelings. We base on the Word of God. Amen. And let me tell you something, when we look at the life of Ruth, we see that she was willing to walk away from it all. Some of you that are here tonight, you got brothers and sisters that are keeping you from serving God because you've allowed them to. Some of you got a mama and daddy. Some of you got kids. Some of you got grandkids. Some of you got an aunt or uncle, but you got relations that are keeping you from serving the Lord. And I have to add this in. I have to say this because I know what God wants me to preach on tomorrow night and on Tuesday. So I'm just going to go ahead and say this to you tonight. Church, I love you and I'm not trying to be unkind, but I want you to get this now and I want it to stick right in your craw. We got too many people today walking out of churches, leaving churches because of problems within the family. Right. I was sharing with your pastor today, one of the biggest issues today is issues over divorce and remarriage. Pastor so-and-so won't marry somebody that's already been divorced. And somebody gets disgruntled about that in the church or whatever. They go to the pastor and say, "Yeah, you know, my family comes here to church, and I just met what was going to be wife number four, and I want you, we want you to be the one to marry us. We figured we would give you that honor." And the man of God says, "Listen, you know, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I can't do that. I can't do that." And he's not mean, not ignorant about it, but he just says he can't do it. Based on the doctrines of the Word of God, he can't participate in that. So they go back and they tell the family, and the next thing you know, the whole family is in an uproar. Yeah. "Well, doesn't he know that you're our kin? Yeah. He better recognize half the family is related to you. And if he don't marry you, boy, I'll tell you what, we're just going to tell that, we're going to teach that preacher, we're going to leave." By the way, here's what I'm after tonight. Shame on anyone who calls himself a Christian who has a family member that gets sideways with God or is doing something inconsistent with the Word of God, and the man of God takes a stand for what's right, but the family follows their... Hey, blood is thicker than water. I don't know what blood you're loyal to, but I'm going to be loyal to the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My mama didn't die for me. My daddy didn't die for me. My brothers and sisters didn't die for me. My aunt and uncle didn't die for me. My kids didn't die for me, but my Lord and Savior did. Amen. That's the blood I'm going to be loyal to. Listen to me. I'm not telling you to be mean or unkind, but you get a family member that's doing something wrong and the man of God has to take a stand against it. You get a family member that's sideways with God. Don't you follow them out of the church. Amen. You take a stand and you stand right there beside the pastor, beside the man of God. Amen. That's called being willing to forsake your family to go in the right direction. Amen. Preacher, we hear the story of Ruth tonight, but big deal. What did she gain? You remember how the story began? There was a famine in the land. You know where she winds up? We're not going to go real far into this, but just in the conclusion of where we read, she winds up in the house of Boaz. Boaz had a little mucho dinero. Ain't no famine going on at Boaz's house, amen. And you know what he did? He didn't only bless her. Handfuls of purpose. Come on now. He married her. She married money. Amen. She went from famine to fortune. She did. I mean, she was blessed. She was in the household now where she was taken care of. He was her near kinsman. He took her to wife. And you know what? She was provided for. She was blessed. And she had an awful lot for her. You say, why? Because she went in the direction that God wanted her to go in. Amen. She decided that she wasn't going to be like Orpah, who was just going to kiss and leave. Amen. She was going to cleave and stay. And that's what she did. And you know what we need tonight? We need some Christians who will understand that if you'll just be faithful to God, if you'll just follow the way of the Lord tonight, if you'll just say it may not make sense, and maybe I'd rather go back to my homeland, and maybe on the horizon of my life I see a better destiny, but I'm going to follow God's direction because we walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe you will go from famine to fortune in your life as well. Amen. By the way, fortune isn't always described by having lots of money. There is a richness and a wealth of spirituality that comes and a joy and a peace that, listen, it can't even be described. We got to be committed to God like Ruth was committed to God. By the way, the blessings on Ruth didn't stop with Ruth, did they?
No.
Amen. Huh? She was blessed in her descendants. She was blessed in her descendants. You remember Ruth? She became the great-grandmother of a little baby boy who one day became a shepherd. And that shepherd became a king, and his name was David. Friend, that might not mean an awful lot to you, but may I remind you how this story began? I'm talking about a Moabitess. She was just a dirty Gentile dog. Amen. And she became one that was brought into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Are you listening tonight? You follow the Lord and His manifold blessings will be beyond anything that you and I can even conceive tonight. Dear friend, I'm telling you that we have a God who is able. Amen. If He could reach down and He could take somebody like Ruth. Amen. He can turn her direction around. What a beautiful picture of salvation. God, I look at this pastor and I see God saved a wretched sinner like me. He took a filthy, dirty Gentile dog. Amen. He brought me into the family. I love the story of Ruth, and I love this picture that's here tonight, and I'm so thankful for the testimony that she had. And I want to tell you what, Ruth is a testimony and an encouragement to me. I can't wait to see her someday. I'm going to get to see her. Amen. And I'm going to tell her how her faithfulness and fervency for God blessed my life. But that's Ruth's story. What's yours? I'm sad tonight because there's people in here that by their own decision have chosen to go the wrong way. By your own choice, you've decided to bypass the blessings in life, and you're not being blessed. God's not pouring out upon you blessing upon blessing, but He wants to. God wants to touch your life again, but you've got to turn that direction. You've got to be fortified in your mind, and you've got to follow in the footsteps of God, and you've got to be willing to forsake family and friends and whatever it takes to go the way God wants you to go. And in doing so, God can bless you. He can't bless unrighteousness. He can't bless wrong direction. God can't do that. We sing the song as a nation, God bless America. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, brothers and sisters. Listen, I am not unpatriotic. I gave my life to God when He called me to preach, to be an evangelist in this nation, the forgotten mission field. I've had many opportunities, and even would have been financially sponsored to go to other countries and to preach the Word of God. And I know there would be thousands upon thousands in one service that would come out to hear the Word of God preach. I'm not opposed to that, but I know this is where God put me, and this is where my heart is. And it's a tough nation, and it's a hard-hearted nation, but this is a nation by her own choice and by her own decision that has decided to go in a diverse direction from God's way and God's Word. She has decided, America has decided that God cannot bless unrighteousness. And brothers and sisters, in your life, God can't bless it either. The story tonight, as I began, I told you, was about two women, Ruth and Orpha. The Bible says that Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. We got a lot of Christians doing this. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus. The Bible says this. Ruth clave. When Orpha kissed and walked away, that was the last time that we ever heard anything about her ever again. But when Ruth clave, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we got some decisions to make tonight. Do you want your life story to end here, or do you want it to open up to a new chapter and a new page and a brand new beginning? The choice is simple. God stands there before you. Are you going to kiss or cleave? I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody moving about. I want to know tonight, would you be honest? Listen, I have nothing to gain and I have nothing to lose with your decision tonight. But you've got everything to gain or everything to lose tonight. Brothers and sisters, you've got to make a decision tonight in your life. Some of you God's speaking to and He loves you. Listen, we've got a Heavenly Father that loves us tonight. And He wants you so desperately to go in the right direction. He wants you to start keeping those commitments. He wants you to be fortified in your mind. He wants you to be steadfastly minded. He doesn't want you to be wishy-washy. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Some of you tonight, God spoke into your heart about being fortified in your mind. Some of you tonight have not been following the way you should be. You've talked about it, but you haven't been doing it. It's time, as the old timers used to say, to put it into shoe leather. And some of you tonight just need to be willing to forsake that thing or that person that's tying you down or holding you back. You know what it is. You too can be blessed. Brothers and sisters, I make no bones about it. It's crunch time right now. God has impressed this message upon my heart to bring it to you tonight, to bring you to a point of decision. And can I tell you something? Every man and every woman and every young person in here tonight will make a decision. You can say, preacher, love you and all, but I'm not making any decisions. You just did. You just made one. You just did. It was the wrong one. Before you solidify that commitment, would you reconsider tonight? Christians, how many would say, Brother Curlin, God is speaking to my heart tonight. I know that I haven't been as fortified in my mind. Maybe I haven't followed in the footsteps. Maybe I haven't been getting the job done. Maybe I haven't been willing to forsake all. And somewhere in the message, God has spoken to my heart tonight. If you can honestly say that, would you just slip your hands up tonight? God bless you tonight. Thank you all. Thank you for your responsiveness. God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you just slip your hand up? Others like that tonight. God bless you all. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Friend, please don't walk out here tonight lost and undone. I want to tell you a story about a God, the God, who so loved the world, that's you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you have never truly come to the end of your road, repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus, opening your heart and receiving Him as your personal Savior, then right now you can do that. As God is speaking to your heart, how many here tonight would say, preacher, if something unexpected were to happen to me tonight and I were to die, preacher, if I were to die tonight, if tonight my soul were to be required of me and I were to stand before God, preacher, I have to be honest in saying, I do not know for sure if I'm really on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned about that. If that describes you, would you just slip your hand up right now? God bless you and you. God bless you tonight. I see those hands, others like that. Preacher, I have to be honest. If I died tonight, I do not know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned about that. I will say that. Would you just slip your hand up? Are there others like that? Preacher, that describes me. God bless you tonight. God bless you tonight. Anyone else? Preacher, that's me. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? God bless you tonight. If you raise your hand saying, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned about that. I know who you are. God knows who you are. If you raise your hand saying that, would you look right at me right now? I want you to just sit up and look at me. You're looking at me and I'm looking at you. If you meant that, would you just nod your head? Did you mean that, friend? Did you mean that tonight? Did you mean that? Now listen to me. Right now, what Satan himself wants you to do, what the devil wants you to do, is just forget this whole thing. The devil wants you to close your eyes and say, no, I'm not listening. That's what Satan wants you to do. You know why? Because he doesn't want you to know how much God really loved you. He doesn't want you to know tonight because he knows that if you recognize that God shines His light and the love of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on your heart, that you very well may open that heart tonight and receive that same Jesus. He died for me. He died for you. He loved you so much that He gave His very life and shed His blood so that through Him we might have forgiveness and salvation. And what God wants you to do tonight is not to go through emotion. He doesn't want you to have some religious experience. He wants you to truly come to the end of your road and realize that going to heaven doesn't happen by coming to church or by being a good person, but it comes through repentance in your heart and faith in Jesus and what He did when He died on the cross. Man, I can't get you to heaven tonight. No person in this ground, on this ground, in this church can get you to heaven tonight, but Jesus can forgive and save your soul. He did it for me one day, and I got great news. He'll do it for you tonight. If tonight you'll come to the end of your road, if tonight you'll open your heart and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that sin has a punishment, and that punishment is hell, but Lord, I know that You love me so much that You gave Your life for me and shed Your blood. And tonight, Lord, I'm asking You not only to forgive me, but to save my soul. If you will leap into the arms of Jesus 100% tonight, putting your faith and trust in Him to forgive you and save you, He will do that, and He will give to you the gift of eternal life that can never, never be taken away. Now the devil wants you to forget this. He doesn't want you to respond. He wants you to leave tonight and die and go to hell. But God loves you. He loves you more than anyone on this earth does, and He wants you to accept His Son tonight into your heart. And my prayer for you tonight is this, is you'll come and open your heart and receive Christ tonight. I believe with all of my heart that you're dead serious. So tonight, when we have this invitation, as many come, I want to ask you to come. Find a place at this altar and say, Lord, I recognize tonight that I am a sinner, but I'm the sinner that You died to save. And tonight you call upon Jesus and ask Him not only to forgive you, but to save your soul. Put your faith and trust in Him tonight, men. And I want to tell you what, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, He says. Whosoever, that means anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make tonight the night that from your heart you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to cleanse you and save you. When we have that invitation, I want you to come. God wants you to come. But it's a decision you've got to make in your heart. Don't reject Him tonight. Receive Him. I'm going to ask everyone tonight to please stand with me to their feet. Would you stand tonight? May I say this to you tonight? There's plenty of room at this altar. Why not get started out on the right foot tonight in this tent meeting? Many hands were raised. Listen to me. If you meant business, there's room at this altar for you. I want you to know tonight that if you're here, a Christian, I'm speaking to you, child of God tonight. Your hand was raised and you heard a message tonight on the life of Ruth. Let's get started on the right foot and let's see children of God fill up and flood these altars tonight and say, Lord, help me. I want to be so fortified in my mind that I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of God. Come on. Lord, I want to follow in the footsteps. I don't want my life to just be one that talks about doing right. I want my life to be an example of one that does it. Amen. And I'm willing tonight to forsake whatever may be in the way of me following the Lord. Many have already begun to come. We're going to have a song of invitation tonight. As God is speaking to your heart right now, you come. Father, bless this invitation. May it be exactly what You've ordered in Jesus' name. And amen. As she plays with